Why are we seeing this on a daily basis? And everyone asked the question, why? What's happening? How did this take place? Within a period of 2 weeks, what did we have? Well, last Sabbath I covered about the shooting in Fort Hood and the reasons behind it, entitled that sermon, Ancient Feuds, Modern Terrorists. And then I also gave another sermon, Will Fickle Israel, that's the modern 10 tribe descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel, will fickle Israel repent? So we're standing at the crossroads. And every time we miss that crossroad, there's another crossroad just down the way, which maybe is more significant than the one we just passed. So the question becomes, how do we understand what God wants us to do and what is happening in the United States of America? And we are seeing some of the most insane things take place. The recent one was the president's decision to have Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11. But also, he was the mastermind of the assassination of Sadat, the Egyptian premier who made peace with Israel. He was tried in Egypt and let go. See, because we are trying to deal in a peaceful manner with too many people that are not dedicated to peace. And we're trying to do the stupidity and the insanity of thinking that if we treat these dedicated murderers, these Nazi jihadists and Muslims, if we treat them like nice, respectable human beings. Because you see, the descendants of Israel are like silly doves. We think if we treat them nice, that they will become nice when they're really dedicated to their cause, which is the extermination and the suppression and the rule over Western civilization. That is the goal of the Muslim religion. Oh, well, they're supposed to, oh, they're good Muslims. Oh, really? When it comes down to the pinch, when it comes down to life and death, will they support the lifestyle in the West that they hate? Or will they demand, like they are in the UK, Sharia law? Now you have to understand a principle. Here's a great principle. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Is that not true? Therefore, God gave to every nation what is called sovereignty. Sovereignty means geographical area, population, laws, and currency. You can only have one sovereign within any geographical territory. Because if you don't, it's going to fall. Like Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Either he will love one and hate the other, or hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You take this principle. When you have those whose religion is not of God, Allah is not God. Let's understand something. In every case where God makes judgments, whether it's a nation, whether it is a group, whether it is an individual, God does not make judgments unto death and destruction lightly. He gives warnings. And we're seeing a lot of these warning signs coming along. Because if everything that comes through that this administration and Congress agenda is set for, we are destined for third world nationhood rapidly. Now, here's why. Here's why. Let's come to Psalm 12. Now, things like this have happened in the past, because these are some of the devices of Satan, the devil. And Satan never changes. Now, he may modify his approach somewhat so that he can bring down people. And remember, God uses Satan in his judgments, doesn't he? Read the book of Job. What happened there? God used Satan powerfully. So the truth is, if you are not wholehearted to God, and if you do not love God and believe God and serve Him as in the Bible, because this is His message to you personally. And understand this, the Bible is a personal message from God to you. So you have no excuse to say, where is God? Why didn't He tell me? Well, if you have a Bible in your house, you can open it and read it. Can you read? Can you open a book? But the problem is, will you believe it? The answer is, up to you. If you don't, the sure judgments are coming upon you, because one of the punishments that God gives is to raise up leaders, such as we have in the United States today, who are dedicated to another cause, who are dedicated to another sovereign, who are dedicated to the destruction of this nation, and all of their policies, like everything Satan says, that if you follow me, you will have a benefit, actually ends up in destruction. And everything that is portended for us, governmentally, is for our good. We'll take care of you. Of course, the government wants you as slaves and pawns in their hands, dependent upon them, and that's what you will become if you do not turn to God. Exactly what will happen. We're seeing it happen. How many times through the years have we read prophecies of what's going to happen to Israel when they abandon God? And we think, oh, well, yeah, that's true. But when the reality and the truth of it is actually in living history day by day on your television, now that's another situation entirely, isn't it? So here's where we are. And I think a lot of people feel like this. A lot of people in America wonder, what's happening? What's happening? Why are we oppressed? Why is this coming down? Why are we spending so much money? For every tax dollar taken in federally, they spent $2.38. Now, how long do you think that'll go? Well, just imagine it like the Titanic. They had a pump that would pump out a foot of incoming water a minute. But the incoming water is coming in at 2.3 tenths feet per minute. Well, going to sink just like the Titanic. Psalm 12, verse 1. Help! That's where we are. That's a good psalm. Maybe you ought to pray that in your prayer. Get on your knees and say the same thing. Help, O Lord, for the godly man ceases. Yes. See, nobody knows what our President Barack Hussein Obama really believes. No one knows what his religion really is, because he had a major Freudian slip with Stephanopoulos in an interview on ABC. He says, I'm tired of people debunking my Muslim religion. And Stephanopoulos said, you mean your Christian religion? Yes, that's right, my Christian religion. What church does he attend? Is it for truth or is it for show? And why did he bring out about the shooting in Fort Hood? By talking for 3 minutes about the rights of Native Americans before he talked about the shooting. That's why I say insane judgment. And why did he not help bring comfort and hope to those who lost their loved ones in the shootout down there and those who were wounded? Why did he not use the word terrorist, why did he not say we are going to chase them down to the ends of the earth? Why did he not say, you men who are left and alive, you will be used to find every last terrorist on earth, and we are going to exterminate them? They will either change and join the ranks of modern human world, or they will be exterminated or sent back to their country regardless where they were born. Because their goal is to kill the infidel. And I, as president, vow to you that I will do that. No, talked in lofty terms. And then, the insanity on top of it was sending Sheikh Khalid Mohammed to New York City to be tried in a federal court. And even Karl Rove said on his commentary, this is insane. So we are in deep trouble. This nation is in deep trouble. Not because of the president and the administration and the Congress alone. That is the result of our collective sins up to this point. So unless there is a change with each one individually and personally on a mass scale, it's going to get worse. Oh, well, you talk negative things all the time. Well, what do you suppose I need to talk about when the worst things that have happened to us are happening, huh? All right. Continuing, verse 1, for the faithful disappear from among the children of men. Who really believes in God? Do you really, 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 really believe in God? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being? Are you faithful to God? What is it? Who are you? Where are you going? God gives you every breath that you have. Here's what they do. Here's Washington, D.C., right here in the Bible, verse 2. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. Woohoo! Not something? I'll come here to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 6, for just a minute. And let's look at Washington, D.C. Let's see how God views Washington, D.C. Now, we have to say there are some few back there who are trying to do what is more right. They're trying to do the things that will help the nation, but they really do not know how to go about doing it. And look at the minority position that they are in. That they cannot even sit in on the conference on how to do the laws. Health law, the other laws have been passed. Okay? Let's begin here in verse 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. Sound like some elected official somewhere. Those in Hollywood. Those in the pulpit. Winking with his eyes, speaking with his feet, pointing with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He is always planning mischief. How do you cause a nation to go down? How did Hitler do it? How did Stalin do it? How did Lenin do it? Caused crises and confusion and fighting and warring, right? He causes discord. Now, therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. He shall be broken without remedy. Now, apply that not only to the individual, but apply that to a nation, apply that to a family. Verse 16, six things the Lord hates. Wonder why God isn't with us? You think God is going to bless us with liars like that? Of course not. A proud look. Someone said, hey, you ought to read what's here in Proverbs 6. I think this describes our precedent. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and he who sows discord among the brethren. Now just take those verses lift them out, put them right alongside you in big print, and watch your television set. Watch the news. That's what you're going to find. All right, back to Psalm 12. They speak falsehood with each other, with each one, with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. So, you know, you might ask your congressmen and senators and representatives and even the president, what's really in your heart? Ask all of those 36 czars that the president has appointed, what's really in your heart? Why are you really here? What are you doing that you haven't told us? Verse 3, the Lord shall cut off all lying lips and the tongue that speaks proud things who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail. Our lips are our own. Oh, everyone will just become so enamorized with our president that he can get anything done. But take away his teleprompter and he's the worst speaker in the world. Who is Lord over us? God is. And it says in Hosea, Israel, prepare to meet your Maker. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety who puffs at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Now that's why it's dangerous to reject the word of God, because it's true and it's right. Whether for good or blessing, whether for cursing or evil. And God has set before everyone life and death, blessing and cursing. But he commands you to choose life so that you and your offspring or your seed may live. Do you want to live? Do you like it the way that it is? And those who are oppressed, you are so deceived that they have you in such an oppressed position that you must be absolutely dependent upon them, and you're nothing but sheeple and slaves to them. And if you go into the voting booth and vote for them, you are of all people the most ignorant. Now, verse 7. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. That is, if you are on God's side. You cannot expect to live in sin, which is a transgression of the laws of God, which is also lawlessness, which I'll give a sermon on that here. I have given several, so go back and go over them. Okay? Because here's what's happening, and happening on such a breathtaking scale that when you watch the news, it almost just sucks the oxygen right out of you. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Take that scripture and post it right alongside your television set and watch the news. How many rapes and robberies and murders are reported, to say nothing of the abortion? When will the American people have enough backbone to stand up and say, we're going to stop all sin, all adultery, all fornication, and we are going to outlaw abortion? Now, if you do that, you'll receive God's blessing. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter what else you do, because God is sick and tired of the innocent in the womb being slaughtered and pulled apart and sucked out in pieces. And then all the parts given to the scientists so they can experiment with them. All right, let's continue on. Let's hear. Come to Psalm 10, verse 1. Just on the same page. Psalm 12, Psalm 10 is just right up at the top, the left-hand column. Okay? Here's what people think. Why do you stand far off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The answer is, because you won't repent. So as we go through these things, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, whatever your life is, Are you seeking God? Are you repenting to Him? Are you changing your life to conform it to the Word of God? What is it that you are doing? And if you're a minister, teacher, preacher, what are you preaching? What are you teaching? Verse 2, the wicked in his pride pursues the poor. Let them be taken in the schemes that they have imagined. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire and blesses the covetous. Sound like some of the TARP money to some of the politicians? In order to create a job, it costs $300,000 a job to create. My, isn't that economical? Verse 4, through the pride of his countenance, the wicked will not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no place for God. Is that you? Like we've said, do you want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Or do you want to live with a nice manufactured realism? Now notice what happens. See, because Satan gives benefits for sin. Did he not tell Adam and Eve, oh, you'll get a benefit if you eat of this. You'll be like God. You can decide for your own what is right and wrong. You don't need a God to tell you what to do. You're smart. You're clever. His ways prosper at all times until judgment comes. He is haughty, and your judgments are far from him. As for all of his enemies, he sneers at them, for he says in his heart, I shall not be moved. Another way to say it is, we won the election, and elections have consequences, and we have the supermajority, so all the rest of you buzz off. We're going to enslave you. Speaking of enslavement is you shall, and in the health proposal, health care bill, that's 1,900 and some pages. Well, you know, when the regulators get done with it, it will be 20,000 pages, just like the IRS, okay? But in the initial thing, they use the word shall 3,400 times. You shall, you shall, you shall, under the penalty of law. And people say, why do they do that? How did this come about? The answer is very simple, but people don't understand it. Because you didn't do what God said when God said you shall. So now the punishment is there. Now continuing on in verse 6. I shall never be in adversity. Oh, nothing's going to happen to me. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. Now just think how long ago these words were written, inspired to be, but how they fit precisely the events going on today. He sits in secret places of the village. Isn't that what happened with these legislations? Close the door. Oh, we'll be transparent. Anybody look through the door? Oh, we'll post it 72 hours before we vote on it. Lies, lies, lies. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are on watch for the helpless. He lies in wait secretly like a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags him off in his net. He crouches and bows down, and the hapless fall into his mighty grip. You shall, you shall, you shall. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He'll never see. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand, forget not the humble. Now remember, in all of this, God watches out for the humble and those who love him and seek him. So never forget that. What we're describing is what happens to any nation all the way down through history when the wicked are exalted. and we have insane judgments like we do today. Verse 13, why do the wicked spurn God? He said in his heart, you will not call into account. You've seen it. For you behold mischief and vexation to repay it with your hand. The poor commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless and the weak and the humble. So you need to turn to God. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil one. Seek out his wickedness and you shall find none. Get rid of them. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear to defend the fatherless and the oppressed so that the man of the earth may no more oppress. Now that's ultimately going into the kingdom of God. But there you have it. That's why we have such perverse, insane judgment. Now, in Leviticus 19 and verse 15, here's the basis for judgment. But let's analyze the things that we see going on in the world with the Word of God. That's what we are to do. So we know what's right, we know what's wrong, we know what is going on, we know how to come to God, we know how to seek God, we know how to love God, and all of those things. Now let's pick it up here in verse 15. Leviticus 19 and verse 15. Here is what needs to happen in every governmental level in the United States and in the world. If there is going to be a turnaround, everyone wants the blessings of God, and the politicians want to come and say, those blessings come because you support me. Now, verse 15, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. And everything there is about trying these terrorists in civilian courts is unrighteous judgment. You shall not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but you shall judge your neighbor in righteousness. And because we don't have it, this is what we receive. So you see, it's not the government, that's part of it, but the government and its oppressive nature today is the result of the sins of the people. The result of those who say, I don't want God in my life. I will do whatever I want. Oh, well, you know, my pastor says, all the laws in the Old Testament have been done away or fulfilled and have no forensic value today. Really? Then why try a murderer if there's no law? That's insane and blasphemous to speak. And like I've given in how many messages, who is to blame? The religious leaders are number one on the list because they produce the society which has evolved what we have today. So the ones in the pulpit, the ones who teach in the universities, the one who teach in the seminaries, the one who teaches the leaders, they are the main culprits. So if you think that the president and the administration are the ones who are really wrong, you've got it totally backwards. They are the result. All right, let's go on. Let's see what Solomon said here concerning righteousness and judgment. Let's come to Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes. Now, it's in the writing section. Okay, Ecclesiastes. And let's come to Ecclesiastes 3. So for this one, I'll give you the page number. Page 836. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 16. Again, I saw under the sun the place of judgment. You know, like they said, well, if we get Sheikh Mohammed into a New York court, no telling, will we get a radical leftist judge who will dismiss it and throw out his sentence like they did when he was in jail and judged in Egypt, when he was behind the assassination of Sadat. There are so many evil and wicked things that can happen. Would you want to be the judge? Would you want to be on the jury? Would you want to be the prosecutor? No, the truth is to take us down propaganda-wise and show how bad the United States is while ignoring all the evil of the Muslims. That's exactly what it is. Now, what if they get a judge that believes that waterboarding is torture? And then the defense says, well, look, this confession was extracted from them with torture. And the judge will rule, well, anything extracted by torture cannot be used in evidence against them. Very possible. Now, let's read verse 16, Ecclesiastes 3. And again I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there. Do we have that with the judges in America today? Yes. Now continuing. And in the place of righteousness, that wickedness was there. All of those who are supposed to teach the Word of God have the Bible in the pulpit, read from it, but twist and turn and misinterpret it and speak lies in the name of the Lord? Wickedness was there, to say nothing of their behavior. Verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. That is true. He will. But a lot of people think that the wicked is everyone else but me. I'm righteous. I'm good because what I do in my heart, I know is right. Really? Have you checked out the Bible? Which says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Which says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Have you examined your behavior? So if you point the finger to those who are wicked, why don't you first judge your own life and repent before God and make sure that you are right before God? That's what the Word of God is here for, because it was here long before any of us, so we can understand what's going on in the world around us today. Verse 17, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, and there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. God will do it. Okay? I said in my heart concerning the matter of the sons of men, may God reveal to them that they might see that they themselves are beasts. Will they really come to that point? We would hope so. But let's come to Ecclesiastes 8, and let's see another thing that's taking place today. This is what's wrong with our judicial system. Not only do we have wicked, crooked, perverted judges and attorneys, defense attorneys and prosecuting attorneys, who, for the sake of number, put a lot of people in jail so they can look good and climb the political ladder, who, in spite of the evidence, allow policemen to lie so they can get convictions. All right, Ecclesiastes 8. Let's pick it up here in verse 5. Whoever keeps the commandment shall feel no evil. You want your life to change? There it is right there. Love God, keep His commandments. That's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, meaning you will understand what's going on based on the Word of God. That's what it means. But you will never know unless you love God and keep His commandments, unless you believe in Jesus Christ the way the New Testament says, unless you repent to God daily. Now let's continue on, verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great. Would you say, as you look around the world, just suppose, put yourself in a space capsule, and you can have like a big magnifying glass looking down on the earth and all the nations, and everybody comes by you, and you see all the misery and all the sin and all of the destruction and all the wretchedness. Would you not say that's the way it is? Therefore, the misery of man is great. Question is, are you miserable? Well, if you're miserable, the answer is, you've been going against God. Let's continue here. For he does not know what shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? And isn't that true? Yes, indeed. 10 years ago, did you think anything like this would ever happen? The Bible told you, but no one else told you. Now, here's something to show how powerful man is, meaning he's nothing. Is there no man who has the power over the wind to restrain the wind, nor power over the day of death? Is there no discharge from war, nor shall wickedness deliver those who are given to it? Can you control those things? No. They have this silly commercial about a little boy who went out and he captured some wind in a jar. And he comes into a birthday party for his grandpa, and he takes the top off, and it blows out all the candles, and he's a big hero. See? But no man has the power over any of those things, only God. All this I've seen, and I gave my heart to every work that is done under the sun. There is a time in which one man rules over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the holy place, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This is also vanity. Now you think about that the next time you drive by one of these big cemeteries and you see all these monuments and crosses and stars of David and whatever out there. And ask yourself, what do I know about any one of those there, and there are tens of thousands buried in this graveyard? Who were they? What were they like? What were their lives? What did they do? How did they do it? How did they die? How long did they live? You don't know. They're forgotten. This is also vanity. Now, verse 11 is a key. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Do we not have that today? Hey, we do, don't we? Yes, indeed. How are you going to straighten it out? When the powers that be that hold the reins of the power and control these successors coming up through the ranks, how are you going to change it? You're not. You have to change your life and wait on Christ, because Christ is going to return and shake this earth like nothing has ever happened in the whole history of the world. He will take care of them. Yeah, when they wanted to execute someone quickly, they could do it like Timothy McVeigh, because they didn't want everyone to know that he was involved with Palestinians. All right, let's go on. Isn't it amazing that we have the Bible, which in the Old Testament, the words here are thousands of years old, and yet they fit today? Isn't that something? That's right. That's why it's called the Living Word. You don't have any of this in any other writings. I mean, you've got Nostradamus. Well, he steals a little out of the Bible, steals a little there, and then he has all of these satanic and demonic inspirations of prophecy. And the world goes over them again and again and again, like on the History Channel, and say, now there's a movie coming out, what's going to happen in 2012, you know, the earth is going to be turned upside down. Well, one day it will, but not in 2012. See, otherwise we are ready to begin the tribulation in 6 months. Let's come to Isaiah 59. Before we do that, let's go to the next track, please.